All right, I'm recording. All right, welcome you guys to Moedon Ivri, Club Hebrew, Hebrew Club. Very happy to have everybody, and I'm looking forward to having more. I plan to put all these on iTunes because it's interesting how people find stuff on the internet, and people outside of our circles have found it helpful. You know, all of a sudden I get these emails from like a guy in Denver, at Denver Seminary, studying for his comps or something. For Hebrew is appreciative, so that's cool. So we're going to do 1 Kings, and like I said, this is very low pressure. I do all the reading and translating, and kind of will explain some of the forms. So it's basically nuts and bolts translation, so not kind of theological commentary, although feel free to ask questions, and we can go from there on that. So generally, I'll try to cover, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 verses in about a 20-minute period. So when I see that it's at about 12:20 or 12:25, I'll kind of cut it off, okay? But feel free to come and go as you want. And again, if you have any questions, let me know. So it's going to be fun going through 1 Kings. I mean, it's a fascinating book with fascinating stories. So let me start with verse 1 and read it and translate. V'hamelech David zaken ba bayamim. Vayekasuhu babegadim velo yichamlo. All right, just the translation. Now the King David zaken was old, or even became old. All right, I'll talk a little bit more about that form later. Babayamim, he had entered into the days. Okay, vayekasuhu, and they covered him babegadim with the garments or the clothing, but it was not warm to him. All right, so let me kind of explain some of the things here. Notice, first of all, that the book starts out not with a vav consecutive verb. I mean, when you go through the books of the Bible, you'll see a large number of books start with a vav consecutive verb, or like even vayehi, and it came to pass, or something like that. This one does not. There's several of them. There's a number of them that do not, all right? Which may indicate that it's to be closely connected with the preceding book, 2 Samuel. And when you see that, you'll kind of see the book of 2 Samuel ends with that crazy event where God gets mad at Yahweh, or Yahweh gets mad at Israel, and then incites David to take a census, and then punishes, you know, and that's kind of where that ends. So it's all part of this kind of succession narrative that you see starting a little early in 2 Samuel and kind of continuing in these first couple chapters of Kings. All right. Now, usually when, again, without the vav consecutive, you can bet you're getting background information. And that's what's happening here. And you'll see that in when we get to verse 5 as well. So the characters are, you know, they've been introduced before, so it's kind of continuing. So notice zaken is a simple call, third masculine singular, and it's a stative verb. And the reason I want to point that out to you is because a lot of grammarians or people don't remind students that how important it is to remember the active stative difference when it comes to Hebrew verb and how they act and what they mean in the various binyamin, you know, when you go to move to hifil or piel, nifal verbs, all right? So the king, now King David was old. Now notice the idiom ba bayamim. He had entered into the days. All right, that's an idiom that would translate something like he was advanced in years. All right, I checked the idiom. It's used kind of like 6 or 7 times. So Abraham and Sarah, and it's always this zaken with a form of the verb ba and then bayamim. So it's kind of an idiom. So-and-so is old. So Abraham and Sarah were old. They had entered into the days. Another one was Joshua, in Joshua 13, was old. He had entered into the days, and so on. All right. So he was advanced in years. Vayekasuhu is from the verb kasas, third hey. And notice it's a PL form. That's what the Dagesh is doing in the Samic. All right, priest, and you can always tell, you know that you're in PL territory when you have that yud with a shva underneath. All right, and they covered him. And notice the subject is impersonal. You're going to get that kind of a couple ways grammatically that the biblical Hebrew works that out in this particular text in just the next couple of verses. So the subject is vague, and they covered him. So in English, you could probably even translate with a passive, he was covered with garments. All right, but by they, it means his attendants or servants. Okay, with garments. Velo yichamlo. Now pay attention to that verb yicham. Anyone know what root it is? Yicham. This is a strange form. That's from the root chamam. It's one of those double ein roots, chamam. All right, and it's a simple call, imperfect. Now remember the double, and it means to be warm. All right, so it's a call, imperfect, third masculine singular from chamam. Now, these things are so hard to parse out because the imperfect can take different forms. The normal form would be a kamatz under the yud and a holam, like savav, yasov, looks like a hollow verb. All right. Another form would be yisov with a dagish in the second root letter. And you actually, when you look at different forms, again, when you have a stative verb like this, like kalal, to be light, the imperfect would be either yekal or malal. To be circumcised would be yimal. You have those different forms. It makes it really hard to see. This one actually has different forms. If you look in Isaiah, it has yachom with a kamatz under it. If you look in Deuteronomy, it has a seire under the yud. So three different forms for the same root imperfect, okay? But they all mean to become warm. And notice again here you have a impersonal subject. So literally, like I translated, it was not warm to him. Or he was not warm. Some translations would translate a little more idiomatically. He could not get warm. All right, so if you've ever had an aging relative, you know how sometimes they battle with the temperature. You go into their house, it's 85. When I was a pastor, I used to make house calls. Sometimes you'd go in that house and right after lunch, it'd be like 90 degrees in there, and you'd be in one of those overstuffed, like 80-year-old chairs. And it'd be like, oh. A colleague of mine used to go to this one house because he had an understanding with the lady. He'd say, let me just close my eyes for a few minutes. And he'd put his feet back and boom, take a nap right there. And she loved it because her pastor was there. But you'll all get to experience that. Okay. Any questions on verse 1? All right, verse 2. Vayomru lo avadav yavak shu le'aroni hamelech na'ara betula ve'amda lifne hamelech u tehilo sokenet v'shakva bechekeka v'cham la'aroni hamelech. All right. And they said to him, his servants. Notice the word order there. Very common when you have a short preposition, short prepositional phrase, that's actually the second element. That's conventional. And the subject is third. So don't let that mess you up. So the subject is Avadav, his servants. And his servants said to him, all right, yevak shu. Notice that that's the root bakash, and it's a PL form. That kaf does not always take a dagesh. There's a group of letters that sometimes leave out the dagesh, the strong dagesh that you would expect in a PL form. So the giveaway is the shvand or the yud. Let them seek. Again, an impersonal subject or a vague subject. Let them seek for Adoni, my Lord. Look at the ending. This is not the ending that you get when it's referring to God. That would be La Adonai, okay, with a comma. That's a specialized ending. When you're talking about a human master, you just have the normal prefix or normal suffix. So let them seek for my Lord, the King, Anahara, okay, a young girl. And now Betula is another noun, which means virgin. Notice that Na'ara and Betula are in apposition to each other. So Betula gives more details. All right. Yeah. So let them seek for my Lord the King, a Na'ara, a young girl. That is a Betula, a virgin. Okay. Notice that you have the Zakef up there. It tells you to pause. Okay. Ve'amda. Okay, you're going to get a couple of these forms. Notice that it is a Vav plus perfect form. All right, following a jussive. So the yevak shoes, a P.L. Joseph. They're making a request, see? So, may they seek for my lord the king a young maiden, that is, a virgin, and she will stand, all right? Or, so that she may stand, be'amda, lifnei hamelech, so that she may stand before the king, namely, so that she may attend to the king, so that she may wait on the king.
The lifnei is that literally before the face of the
before king. The face of, but it's used just like we would use before, in front of or before, all right? But it doesn't mean literally kind of stand before him, like, but it means attend to him, wait on him, okay? Now notice the author switches verbs, because so he starts off the Joseph, yevak shu, then he goes to the vav plus perfect, ve amda, and now he switches to a vav plus another Joseph form, utahi, and let her be. Everybody see that? Mm-hmm. So there's some variation there. And let her be to him a sokenet. That's a participle from sakan, means to serve or to wait upon. All right? And it's just a simple call participle, feminine, singular. Sokenet, like kotel, kotelet. Okay? And let her be to him a sokenet, a servant, a attendant. I guess that's as good a word of it as any. Now notice he switches back to the vav plus perfect, v'shachva. Let her be an attendant. And she will lie bechekeka, at his breast, or at his chest. Chek, okay? At his, and she will lie at your chest, I'm sorry. Notice the second masculine singular suffix. All right. V'cham, that's the vav plus perfect of the same root, yicham, from chamam. Okay, and it will be warm to my lord the king, or we would probably say, and my lord the king will become warm. Okay, so again, notice there's a few kind of wooden phrases in there, a few awkward grammatical things, but nothing great. When you get into more narrative, especially in 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, even Joshua, Judges, you get more... less formal kind of Hebrew. It's almost like a more, what would you say? The difference between a formal style and a more informal kind of style. Even in English we have those differences. So that's kind of what you're going to get in 1 Kings. So you see things like that he uses different vav plus perfects or imperfects or adjustments here depending. All right. Okay, any questions through 2? Verse 3. Vayevak shu na'ara yafa u vekol gevu Yisrael. Vayimtze'u et Avishag ha-shunamit va'yaviu o talamelech. Well, you knew what was coming next, right? And they sought, again, see the same verb form of PL, and they sought for a, or they looked for a na'ara, a young maiden, yafa, of course. Beautiful. Okay, Yafa, beautiful. Bekol Gevul, in all the territory of Israel. You may have learned Gevul as boundary or border, but it can also refer to the territory within the border. So just translate, in all the territory of Israel. Vayimtze'u, and they found, again, simple call, vav consecutive, and they found at Avishag, Abishag, ha Shunamit, the Shunammite, which my dad always had me remember this story by just telling me Abishag was David's electric blanket. Okay. Vayavi'u, and they brought. Okay, notice that that is a hifil vav consecutive. Everybody see that? Third masculine plural. Notice that there is not an infixed yud there. In vav consecutive form, sometimes it shortens. All right, and so you don't have that, but notice you have the hirik under the bait, which is kind of the giveaway that it's a hifil. So notice how in a verb like bow, it means to come, it's intransitive in the call. In the hifil, it doesn't become causative, it becomes transitive. So it goes from to enter to bring. Everybody see, it's not to cause to bring, because they're not causing someone to do something else. It just simply takes a direct object. And they brought Ota, her, Lamelech, to the king. Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 4 then. Vehanara Yafa ad me'od. Oh, of course you knew that too. Vati Lamelech Sokenek. Va Teshar Tehu Vehamelech Lo Yada'a. Now, again, see how he's given background details. No kind of movement in the timeline, so he doesn't use Vav consecutives. Okay, so he's giving more detail about Abishag in verse 4. See? So, now the Na'ara, the young woman, was Yafa, beautiful. See, notice that Na'ara has the article hey on it. Then the adjective does not. Okay? So the Na'ara was Yafa. And now, ad me'od, exceedingly so. I was curious about this, so I actually looked it up. That idiom is used some 17 times as a superlative, this ad me'od. So someone was exceedingly angry, or exceedingly drunk, or exceedingly whatever. It's ad me'od. Okay? So here you have it here. The woman was beautiful, ad me'od. Exceedingly beautiful. All right? Beauty and looks play a big part in the narratives, right? Notice, I mean, with David, I mean, Saul, even all these guys, they, not only they're good leaders, but they're good looking. And you'll see that again here, too, in a few verses. Vatehi Lamelech, and she became to the king. Notice when you have Haya plus Lamed, sometimes it means to become. You don't have to translate. You can just say she was to the king. I mean, either way, really. A Sokenet, she was an attendant to the king. Vateshar Tehu, and she waited on him, all right. Now here's this little detail. Vehamelech, but the king lo yeda'a. The king did not know her. Simple call, perfect third masculine singular. All right. So again, notice how the narrative, when you want to add detail, it just uses a vav, and instead of using a vav consecutive, it'll front it with the subject or with whatever word, which kind of serves to underline what's going on. So most of this, I mean, notice you have this introduction of David being old that leads to this series of events, kind of very concise narrative. They looked for a beautiful woman. They found her as Abishag. She was exceedingly beautiful. She waited upon him, but he did not know her, okay? So, maybe a reference to his old age or something like that, okay? So there's the first character that's, you already know David's going to become important in the narrative. You might have guessed it. But now notice how verse 5 does not continue with David. It kind of switches characters to his son, Adonijah. Okay? And it's introducing him into the narrative because he plays a huge part in what's coming, what's going to come. If you remember earlier, Absalom had been killed and all that. His other son, I'll tell you in a second, he was the son of Ma'aka, the king of Geshur. And here, Adoniah was the son of Chagit. All right? So, just for your review, so you want to know, David's wives, his first wife was Michal, remember, who was the daughter of Saul, the younger daughter of Saul. And when she made fun of him when he was dancing, remember, he kind of banished her. Then David had 6 wives that he married when he was in Hebron. Remember, before he moved to Jerusalem, he was in Hebron. And Ma'aka was one of them who gave birth to Absalom. Chagit was the other one who gave birth to Adonijah. Okay? When he was in Jerusalem, 2 Samuel chapter 5 says that he married other women, but it's not clear how many. We know Bathsheba. All right. It just says in verse 13 that he married wives and took concubines for himself. So as he was gaining power, that's what he was doing. And of course, Bathsheba gave birth to Solomon. And you'll see him in this narrative in a little while as well. Okay. So Adoniah, the son of Chagit, mit nase. Now you know that word nasa means to rise up. Hit pael means to raise yourself up. Notice it's a participle. I'm kind of interesting. I would probably translate this as a past progressive. He was exalting himself. L'amour. Here you go, the introduction of a direct quote. As soon as you see L'amour, you know that. Saying, Ani Imlok, I will become king. See, he's probably next in line, you know, all that kind of stuff. Okay? Vaya'as, that's from Asa, simple call, imperfect, vav consecutive. And he made, or he prepared for himself, Rechev u'parashim, cherry and horsemen. Now, I looked this up too. When you have these paired, Rechev is, it's usual for Rechev to be singular and parashim to be plural. So I would translate, he prepared for himself chariotry and horsemen. So how many ever chariots he had horsemen for him. Vachamashim ish, and 50 men. Notice when you ever, when you have a number like chamashim, bigger numbers, and then the thing being described is a very common noun, like ish or bane, son, or something like that, that's going to be singular. And 50 men, okay? And 50 men, ratzim. This is from the root, roots to run, simple call, participle, used as a substantive. 50 men as runners, lefanav, before him. See, so he kind of gathered this force, and 50 men ran before him, and then he had chariotry and horses and all that stuff. Okay? All right? It's 12:27, so mark your Bibles there. We'll stop there, and there's some other details now that's going to be added as we kind of start to move to the main plot of the narrative. Okay, does anyone have any questions?
I was just going to, it's kind of crazy looking at the narrative of the guy with the horsemen and everything like that,
yeah.
And then looking at my experience in Swaziland, and you, the king had 50 guys walking out before him,
yeah,
with their axes,
right,
and shouting his name and stuff like
right,
that. Like, it's just, it's a very real story for me.
Right, and see, here's another thing, you know, the harem, the gathering of the harem. So you see how the sons start to cause succession problems. And also, I mean, there's this hint here of the virility of the king is declining. See, so just the power of the king, David, is not what it used to be. And so you have all this kind of thing, because the ability to produce children and heirs was kind of a mark of power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all those kind of things in the background that lead to the kind of conflict. And remember the last part, I mean, David's reign, remember with Absalom and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was not an easy thing, not an easy succession for him. So, really interesting.